Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Joey Galvez. I want to tell you guys a little bit about the Department of MetaHuman Affairs. This one is a story about a team led by a retired sidekick, two felons, a failed actor from Broadway, and a reprogrammed cyborg. But their first mission is to stop the criminals who have robbed a bank, and they will have to set the world at ease. You're going to get 180 pages of entertainment, action-packed awesomeness right here in the first six issues in a collected hardcover volume one. All you got to do is head on over to Kickstarter.com and type in the Department of MetaHuman Affairs or DMA and check it out right now. We are a proud member of the 143 Podcast Network, affiliated with Age of Radio. Hey, how's it going, everybody? This is Joey Galvez, and you are listening to the House of Indie Podcast. This week, I have Caleb Palmquist on the line. How's it going, man?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, man. So, you know what? I've heard a little bit about you and one book in particular from multiple people, actually. I think we have a ton of friends in common. Two people in particular that told me about this book was, number one, obviously, Dave Lentz, because he's your letterer, and Oneshi Press, right? You know them as well. So they told me about you, and they're like, hey, you need to get this guy on. He's got this awesome book called Unicorn Vampire Hunter. And I was like, that seems like an interesting title. Why not? So I reached out, and now we got you, man.
Right on. Yeah, Unicorn Vampire Hunter is a fantasy book that I came up with a long time ago. It was actually the first comic book script I ever wrote about 9 years ago, and it's taken me a while to get around to it, but it's basically just like a whimsical fantasy book about a unicorn who hunts vampires with his horn. There's a bunch of other characters. It's sort of a fairy tale.
That
the title pretty much says it all, man.
Right. I love this because you have cute little puppies in here that never grow old. Like, the who doesn't want that, right? And as soon as I heard about that, I said, sold, done. I'm reading this and I want one. How can I get one? What a great story. It threw me into the world that you're building here. And I know you got a Kickstarter going on.
Your number one is complete. So we're ready to hit print as soon as the Kickstarter ends. But the plan is definitely to do at least five issues that have been written. And given the how well the first one has done and how excited people have gotten, I think that five issues are definitely going to happen.
Yeah, awesome, man. Tell me a little bit about the process of this book. How you kind of thought about this and where this came from? Because it's such a unique story.
Right. So it's funny. It's hard to kind of describe how I come up with ideas, but with this book, I know the origin point, and it's weird. It didn't start with a unicorn. What happened is about 9 years ago, I had a friend who I had said something about how marshes were beautiful. And my friend says to me, no, marshes are ugly. They can't be beautiful. And so I just started, I wrote this little story about a wizard who lived in a magical marsh with puppies that never grew old. I was like, obviously, marshes can be beautiful, and they're going to be the setting for this like cute little fantasy story that I'm writing. And then I thought, I was kind of like just messing around, and I thought, well, how can this story be more exciting? And I was like, well, there's got to be vampires, and and then somebody's got to be there to deal with the vampires. So unicorn. I just made so much sense to me as soon as I thought of it. I was like, yeah, this has to be a book.
Right. So tell us a little bit about your main character here. She's a young woman, and her name is Jezebel. She gets sent off to hang out with her uncle in the marsh. So tell us a little bit about her and kind of give us a little bit of a background into her character.
Right. So in the world of Unicorn Vampire Hunter, the world is changing. It's one of these fantasy worlds where we're starting to see technology, sort of like the steampunk, like industrial revolution happening. Mm-hmm. And so Jezebel is growing up in this city, and as cities are growing, you know, they start to have problems like crime, and, you know, any good industrial revolution fantasy city is going to have gangs in it. And, and basically as she's growing up as a little girl, her parents start to get really concerned, that she's not safe, that it's not a good environment for her. And she has this uncle who lives in this magical marsh. They send her to live with him, because they think that she's going to be safer there, that she's going to have a better upbringing. That turns out to kind of be true, except, what they didn't count on was that the sort of dark woods right next to the marsh are infested with cunning vampires. She gets there and she's kind of, she continues to kind of have this idyllic childhood as she's growing up. And there's just one rule, which is that she's not supposed to go into the dark forest. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, that's what she does.
Yeah. And chaos and excitement ensues, right? And what was interesting was, when I read this, her family's trying to get her out of an environment, and then they put her into something that is very similar. Maybe there's a little bit less of it, but it's kind of the same thing. Maybe she's protected a little bit more. Did you plan out your team on this along with you? Did you know that you were going to grab these people to get in here? Because the artwork, the colors, the letters, all the way around, it felt like it was like if all fell into place. Was that, do you feel that that's true?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, Daryl Toe is like an incredible artist, and he's someone I've known for a few years. We did a few things together, but never a full comic book story. But we've been talking for a while, and I always knew that his style was just perfect for this kind of story. It's got this like almost like a Pixar movie feel, like a Disney feel to it. And then Dave is somebody who I've known now for about a year and a half. And the thing about Dave is that he is like a Swiss Army knife. I mean, he can adapt to any art style. Cause I feel like some letterers are kind of like, okay, this is my lettering style, whatever the comic is, like, this is what, you know, you can always like their lettering always looks very similar. But Dave is like, all right, I'm going to take a look at this comic and I'm going to figure out what kind of lettering best complements the art here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he does. I mean, we had conversations about it. And when I started talking to him about lettering this book, he was like, man, this art is so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to just like crap all over it with some lettering.
Yeah.
And he said, and so his whole goal was to try to like have this clean and simple lettering that would complement Daryl's very clean and sort of, I don't want to say simple, but like elegant art style.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it does. And I actually had the opportunity to speak to Dave about that kind of that exact same thing. And we went into deep detail about how, you know, so there's some artists who do a really great job on this artwork, and he's like, well, I don't want to muddy it up and dirty it up with my letters. And we kind of talked about that, how like how he has to tackle, you know, when there's a lot of dialogue, how do you put that into a panel when there's not a lot of room, or when there's, you know, we've all seen those books where there's one panel where you're like, oh wow, that was a lot of words in that one small panel. Where's the artwork? And he did say, man, I don't want to be that guy who does that kind of stuff. So, and in here, I did, there was a few pages where I was like, wow, there's really, not a lot of dialogue here, but it's not like there's no dialogue. It's like it's perfect. The perfect amount. There's a perfect amount of, letters to artwork ratio. And I loved it. And he is like a freaking Swiss Army knife. We actually talked about this book, my favorite panel, and I'm sure it's everybody's favorite panel when you see the vampire finally get impaled, right? Right. So I here we go. I'm gonna ask you, man, because I know we all have our own favorite things of our own stuff. What's your favorite panel in this book?
Okay, so my favorite panel is there is a scene, it's not on the Kickstarter preview page, it's a little bit later in the book, where the unicorn and the wizard are sitting talking to each other.
Okay.
And it's an emotional moment, and it's like a very kind of understated moment mm-hmm. that I think turned out just really impactful.
Yeah.
Without spoiling anything, I can say that like basically my favorite panel is really one where there's not really any action happening. Mm-hmm. It's just like an emotional beat in the story. And I think that, you know, I had written it that way, but then the way that both Daryl and Dave delivered mm-hmm. on it it has a real punch to it.
Yeah.
Which I just think, mm-hmm. you know, is really great. Yeah.
There's a lot of those moments in this book. When we kind of get, obviously with any, number one, you kind of get a little bit of a backstory of these characters. And, we see what happens between these two main characters there's three, but the two main characters here, the friends, and cause I don't want to give away a lot, but yeah, that is a very emotional one. You write the page before, you know, you get this hard emotion, and then you go right into the next one. And then that motion kind of just dissolves a little bit, and you kind of get an understanding of who they are, and that there's a reconciliation here happening. And you definitely felt that. It's sometimes it feels like it's a little hard to kind of convey that in a page, in a story, in a comic book, you know? So you guys knocked it out of the park.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So let's take a quick little break here. And, after the break, I need to know a little bit more about you and what else you've done, and if you have anything else planned for the future.
All right,
and we are back. And if you were listening before the break, we are here with Caleb Ponquest, the creator of Unicorn Vampire Hunter. Before the break, I wanted to ask you a little bit about deeper stuff here. Let's talk about what you're doing here next. What's the next thing after this? I know you got plans for at least 5 issues. Well, you got anything else going on?
Oh yeah, man. I mean, sort of like, you know, I'm sure you hear this from all kinds of writers and creators here, but you know, I always have a million things brewing, too many ideas and so many things in progress. So I have another fantasy book, that's going to be coming out next year, that I'm working with, and that's a complete mm-hmm. graphic novel. I'm working with artist Jonathan Fisher,
okay.
who is really cool. If anyone hasn't heard of him, mm-hmm. I promise you will soon. Wow. Jonathan Fisher is one of these guys who has just got talent exploding out of him. And so I'm doing a King Arthur book with him.
Okay.
That will be called Swords of Arthur. Which I'm really excited about. That's about a knight who teams up with a lion. They kind of go on adventures together. So that should be good. And then I do an anthology book that I edit called Modern Mythology, which is a collection of stories that are myths retold in the modern day. And I have a ton of different artists and writers that work with me on that. And we have a new project. A new modern mythology project that's going to be launching next year.
Okay.
Cause we did one last year, that was, funded on Kickstarter. That was pretty cool. And then we have another version of it coming out next year, which I'm excited about. And then, you know, there's little things here and there. I'm always coming up with with just little fun projects, but those are my, mm-hmm. those are my big comic book things that are coming out.
That's awesome, man. And so do you find that you like to work with fantasy type stories a whole lot more?
So it's interesting because up until, last year, I had only ever done sci-fi in comics.
Okay.
My history with comics, the first comic book that I did is a sci-fi book called A Small Favor, which is a sort of, it's like a big space odyssey thing. You know, they always say, the advice that always goes around on the internet is like, don't try to do your like magnum opus as your first comic. And that's what I tried to do as my first comic.
Yeah.
And it was fun. But I, you know, I definitely learned a lot, and I'd love to return to that world. But yeah, so I've been doing fantasy comics now, and I really enjoy them. It's like, it's a very different feel. But I'm definitely into it, because I have a Unicorn Vampire Hunter is a lot of fun. And then I have this other book that I'm doing, which is going to be a lot of fun. And I just love the kind of worlds you can play with.
Yeah. In fantasy. Yeah. I feel like if you are not playing with a little bit of everything, you, I don't think you are kind of, practicing with the talent that you have, you know what I mean? If that makes sense. I don't know if it does, but I think if you stick to one thing, you know, maybe we get a little, complacent and we kind of get stagnant maybe. and we don't kind of use our talent to the ability that we can. And I think that's amazing that you do that. So tell us a little bit about that book. Because I was reading up on you a little bit, and I saw that you did those few other books, and you have your own, you own your own imprint, right?
I mean, kind of, I think like imprint is maybe a strong word. I did this thing that like so many people do where they kind of like start an LLC and it's like, so yeah, technically I own a company called Enkidu Studio, but it's like just me, you know, and so,
you got to start somewhere, man.
Yeah, I mean, right. Yeah. But I chose the name Enkidu because, I'm just really into mythology and, you know, like Sumerian myth. So I thought that would be a cool name.
So what does that mean?
Enkidu is Gilgamesh's friend and traveling companion.
Okay.
A wild man. Yeah.
That's awesome. Cause when I read that, I was like, what is this? I need to know. So that's pretty cool, man. No, dude, don't sell yourself short. It's a freaking imprint, dude. You're publishing stuff. You know what I mean? It's just you, but I mean, come on. This show is just me. And I'm trying to do something with it too. You know what I mean? So you got to start somewhere. So don't sell yourself short, man. Cause you're making some good stuff here. You got more stuff coming out. We're looking forward to this Kickstarter. Are you planning on kickstarting the rest of Unicorn, Vampire Hunter?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I've seen a lot, I've seen like a really good response. I mean, this Kickstarter has been the most popular Kickstarter that I've ever run. And it's the seventh one that I've done. It's definitely getting the best response that I've ever gotten.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm definitely encouraged to kind of continue going this route.
Yeah. I said, man, I've had at least a handful of friends tell me about this book, and I've been noticing a lot of people have been backing it. So how is it? Is it pretty successful now? Are you guys funded yet or close?
Oh yeah. We were funded a week in.
Oh, man.
So yeah, now we're like 130, 140% funded. And we have about, as we're talking right now, we got about 12 days left.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's been wild.
I'm going to put all that stuff in the show notes, and then I'll also throw it all over our social media so people can go and check it out, because I got to tell you guys, this book's great and I'm excited for it. I'm actually probably going to go and, rifle through my comic book Kickstarter allowance and see what I can do. Cause I want this in a physical form and now, man, cause it's really good. It almost feels like it's all ages, but then it's kind of, I'm like, can my son read this? Maybe not. Okay. But man, it's super cool.
As far as the age range, I think that the best term that I could use is young adult.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think that it's got, about the level of maturity as something like Frozen.
Oh yeah.
In the sense that like there are some like intense themes and there's a little bit of violence, but it's also not really, it's not really a horror book, and it's, there's nothing like super explicit in it.
No, there's more story than any of that stuff. And that's why I liked it a lot. I said, I'm into this. I think the only reason why I said that is because there's a lot of blood. And I know if I, if I was like, hey, gave this to my 10-year-old for him to read, and my wife looked over his shoulder, she'd probably be like, what the heck are you letting him read? You know, only because of the blood. But other than that, it feels along the lines of, it's like, it could be an all ages story with if there was less blood, if that makes sense. But don't take any blood out, because the blood makes it awesome, dude. Cause you gotta see the freaking unicorn impale these guys. I thought that was such a cool visual when I saw that, and I had to have you on. So. Super cool, man. We're going to wind down here. Before we go, can you please let everybody know where they can find you on social media, where they can back this? Unfortunately, everybody's not going to be hearing in. They're not going to be able to back it at the time of this release, but they can at least know when the next one's coming.
So if you want information, no matter when you're listening to this, if you go to unicornvampirehunter.com, there will be information about when the next issue is coming, how you can get it. Unicornvampirehunter.com is the website. And then on Facebook, you can find it at Unicorn Vampire Hunter. There's a Facebook fan page. You're welcome to follow me on social media, but I am really bad at tweeting and Instagram posting and all that. But I am Caleb Palmquist on all those platforms.
Hey man, that's you and I both, and that's part of what this is, to get the word out there for people. And I'm still really bad at it, man. It's like I have to find a way to like have a budget to pay somebody to do that, but I don't have that kind of budget.
I
get it, man. I understand that aspect, man. So, all right, dude, this was a lot of fun. I'm excited for this book. I'm excited for what's coming up next. Can't wait to see what comes out of your studio there, man. Pretty cool.
Thank you.
All right, dude. We will see you next time. Thank you for listening to The House of Indie. My name is Joey Galvez. I will see you later. Can you say The House of Indie?
The House of Indie.